Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, it's an off day for the Padres, and we've got Kurt Pavakwa in studio, who back in his playing days used to use the off days to crack one or two open. And he had some teammates who would crack one or two not on the off days.
I'm sure that I had teammates that were drinking beer that night. I think, probably.
Plus, we've got Mike Grace in studio, whose favorite part of the show every day is right now, this instant, as I'm talking, and open by Blooper.
Blooper always surprises us with those every day. Never know what's coming. Well played, Blooper.
Yeah.
Nice
Good job.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Mike Grace and Kurt Pavakwa.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Off day here for the Padres. They're in town, they're at home, they get to spend the day with their families or at the beach or on a golf course. They don't have to play baseball of any kind today. And that's
a good thing.
It's a welcome sight, I would imagine.
I think so.
They've gotten some wins, but not enough, I would say, over the last couple weeks. They've played well, they've played poorly, a lot of inconsistency, but again, the last time they had an off day, it was well spent. They came back and played well. Hopefully that'll be the case again.
Sometimes off days are welcome. Other times you want to continue to play because the ball club's going good. This is a perfect situation for this ball club. They desperately need an off day. And I think Buddy Black and the coaches need to sit down and kind of shuffle up the lineup a little bit. I think they need to do something different. I'm not for good, just for the time being.
To shake it up.
Sure.
Shake
Why
it
not?
Up. Shake
and I
it
know
off.
There's been some lineup. You know, I know he's changed lineups. He's had a lot of guys that have been in there in the same spot. And he's had some guys coming off the bench that he's put into the game to get their at-bats. But I just think things need to be changed a little bit. I look for Myers to be back. Our number one hitter on the club, still on the DL. And looks like he might remain there for a while. Not sure. But don't know if he's going to be ready.
Talking about Yonder Alonso.
Yonder Alonso, the only guy over 300. But, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Barmas in the lineup, whether it's right-hander or left-hander. Give him a shot. Get Venable in there. I think he's going to be in there anyway.
We've seen some good things from Almonte, though. We've seen some hits.
I'm not saying anything against the other guys that play the same positions. Just saying, let's go with these guys and see what happens for a game or two. And the Nationals, it was good to see them leave.
It is. And that's a good baseball team right there.
Yes, it is.
They hit the ball. They pitch the ball. They are going to do some good things this year, most likely. They've gotten through their struggles. They started off poorly and have righted the ship. So, to me, the guy that you mentioned, they really missed Will Myers. I think he does so much for this team. It's funny. You see a guy like that, even when he makes outs, he hits the ball hard. He brings an energy to the front of the lineup. He's scoring a lot of runs. He's giving you pop. He's giving you extra base hits. It just changes the entire dynamic of the lineup when you go from Myers and to the two-hole, whether it's Solarte or Norris, and then Kemp, Upton. When he's there, it's dramatically different.
And the other thing that I think is very, very important. It forced Buddy Black to put Corey Spangenberg in the leadoff spot. Didn't really force him. I mean, could have put Almonte in there. Could have put Amarista in there. But I think because of the fact that Corey was swinging the bat pretty well when Will was in the leadoff spot, it kind of – that was the first thing in your mind. And sure, I probably would have done the same thing. That didn't work out too good. At least after he hit those couple of home runs. Because he's gone 0 for 11, 0 for 12 with way too many strikeouts in the leadoff spot. You just can't do that.
And it's a fantastic point because when Will Myers got hurt, most people thought of the defensive aspect. All right, he was in center field. Now you've shaken that up. He's playing first base. Who's going to play first base now? But the bigger question should have been, who's going to lead off? Because he already is not a prototypical leadoff hitter. He's not what you normally have because you didn't have a prototypical leadoff hitter. So now you're going further down the line with Corey Spangenberg or whoever the case may be. And he probably was the best bet from what they had. but that is probably the biggest absence with him being hurt.
I think you're absolutely right. And I love Corey Spangenberg. I think he's a spark plug. I think he's a guy that a major league team needs on their team. I think the guys love him. And that's good when your teammates really think a lot of you because it helps you when you go out there every day knowing that you've got backing on the bench. It's just a good thing. But something's happened to him the last three or four games. And I don't know exactly what it is. And I think it's a combination of the two home runs in one game and the leadoff spot.
Do you see him changing his swing or his approach because of the home runs and trying to do that? We see that a lot of times.
Absolutely.
With guys that are smaller players. I always think back to Kilvio Varas. Every time he hit a home run, he was kind of done for 2 weeks because he was trying to hit a home run every swing. Do you see those kinds of things with Spangenberg after that two home run night?
Well, what are you going to say? I mean, 0 for 11 with 7 strikeouts?
That's the strikeouts was what really got you, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's not a strikeout hitter. I mean, he makes contact. He's got a pretty good short little stroke, whether he's got one strike on him or two strikes on him. He's a contact type of hitter. He doesn't strike out very much. I mean, sure, he's facing some nasty pitching. But just the same, you're going to make some contact when you've got the kind of stroke that he does. And I think that him hitting the ball out of the ballpark a couple of times might hurt him a little bit.
Yeah, and it was interesting because he did have the opposite field home run, which he put a really nice swing on.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a home run swing, so to speak. But, yeah, perhaps it did change his approach and for the negative side. A guy in this series that had a huge hand in it, Bryce Harper. Man, this guy, he's a special talent. It's funny, I saw a poll earlier, a player's poll, saying that he was the most overrated player in the game. I don't think you're going to see too many polls like that anymore. I think he's showing – he's only 22. It feels like he's been in the league for 3 or 4 years, but he's only 22, and he's just a special baseball player.
I saw some pretty amazing statistics on him while they were here in town, and the one in particular really stood out. When they put it up on the board, I went, what? He's never faced a pitcher older than – or younger than him.
Right.
That's
never.
Unbelievable.
And who knows how
never
long he'll be
before he
does.
Never faced a pitcher younger than him.
And he's been in the league 3 years now.
That is crazy to me. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. I'd love to be his agent. No, he makes things happen. And if you noticed yesterday when he hit that triple in the fifth inning to kind of start the downfall of Ian Kennedy, he came up fired up. And I saw that and I went, you know what? That goes back to his first at-bat when Kennedy threw him a fastball up and in and knocked him back off the plate. That's the kind of player he is. Those are the kind of guys that you can't stand them when they're on the opposition, but you love them when they're on your team.
You might have been one of those guys.
I think everybody loved me.
Everybody loved you?
Yeah, maybe not everybody.
Not a short, heavy-set Italian man. He didn't care for you.
Well, he doesn't even count.
He doesn't count.
Nah.
Let me throw some numbers at you on Bryce Harper. He had 19 plate appearances in the series. Goes 8 for 13, 6 walks, 2 home runs, the triple, 6 RBI, 7 runs, 0 strikeouts.
Zero strikeouts?
He didn't strike out in the series.
Wow. How many 2-strike appearances did he end up having, I wonder? Because just the fact that he's a number 4 hitter and he's got power and he's got the swing that he has, not to be able to strike that guy out, at least once or twice. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to go back and say that's not true. Those statistics are wrong.
That he didn't strike out?
No, he struck out once. The umpire just didn't call it a strike.
Oh.
When Garces, that
absolutely
ball was
true.
A strike.
Absolutely true. And if for those of you, sometimes PitchTrax is up, sometimes it's not on the Fox broadcast. If you follow Padres Strike Zone on Twitter, it's a really, really fascinating account. It'll show you exactly where pitches were in the strike zone, whether a call was positive for the Padres or negative for the Padres. It's really, really fascinating to see. And that was when you're absolutely correct. That was a strike that he got away with. And so, yes.
And
but he was
just
not called for a strikeout.
It just go. That's true. It just goes to show you that barking at the umpire from the dugout sometimes works. Because the Washington National bench was all over the home plate umpire on the first pitch, that at-bat with Harper. You saw the Steve McCaddy, the pitching coach. You saw Matt Williams, the manager, kind of barking at the home plate umpire a little bit. And I have to believe that was the reason he didn't call that ball a strike or call that strike a strike.
I think there's a lot to that, and it's something Randy's talked about, how pitchers and hitters can adjust to an umpire's strike zone if they're a little inconsistent with it, but they want to be able to tell that umpire about it. They want to be able to bark, and they want to be able to argue, and then they changed the rule a few years back that you're not allowed to argue balls and strikes, and that's how guys get tossed so quickly. So maybe there's a lot to that because baseball saw umpires being influenced when they were getting yapped at by whether it's either bench and changing the way they're calling the strike zone.
Well, I've got a lot of respect for the old-school umpires, and I didn't at one time. And a gentleman from San Diego really turned me around when it came to umpires because he couldn't stand me. Oh, there's somebody that didn't like me. And I couldn't stand him. And his name was Paul Runge. I mean, we absolutely despise one another. And if you asked him, he'll tell you the same thing. I sat with him at the pool one day in Phoenix. And from that day on, I had a different outlook on umpires. And I think he had certainly had a different outlook on me. So I learned that if you respect umpires, you're going to get that back. And I was, 23 years old, maybe 22 years old. I was in the Coast League. And learning something like that young, really helps you. Because
sure.
You're talking about barking at the umpire. You can talk to the umpire. They just don't like to be shown up. And neither do players, for that matter.
Sure.
So if you talk to them while you're still looking out at the pitcher's mound, just like catchers do, catchers very seldom turn around and say anything to an umpire. But you see them talking, and you know what they're talking about. They're talking about the pitch before, and they're probably saying things. If they're smart, they're saying, hey, as long as you give it to my guy, that's fine. Or don't give it to their pitcher, then I'm good with it. But you just can't turn around and scream. And the one word you can't use with umpires, what do you think it is?
Well,
eyes just got real big.
I've seen Bull Durham, but I can't say that on TV. So
you. It's you. That's the word.
Okay.
You can't point at them as the culprit.
They don't want to take any responsibility.
Well, you can look at it any way you want to. But you can't say you or your. If you leave that word out of the deal, you're good.
All right. So you really have to change your vocabulary when you're speaking with an umpire.
There's no doubt.
I mean,
especially now. They've got short fuses.
Yes, they do.
I mean, these guys are little mini cherry bombs now. The fuse goes off real quick.
Oh, always good stuff. It's an off day here, but it's not an off day for you, the viewers. We want to hear from you. Get us on Twitter, hashtag PadresSH. We've got the live chat with moderator Becky. It's padres.com/social hour. Send us a lot of questions, tweets, comments. Let's talk. Let's talk Padres baseball. When we get back, we're going to get a little more into a few of the interesting and important plays from last night's game, kind of break down that a little more coming up right after this next break. Next Saturday's Baseball Night in San Diego giveaway features a Matt Kemp Padres replica jersey presented by Petco. Free for every fan in attendance. Petco will also be outfitting your pets with a free matching bandana while supplies last. Get your tickets for the May 30th game against Pittsburgh at Padres.com or at the box office. More Padres Social Hour from the AMR Studios right after this.
We're back to the AMR Studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
We are live. Mike Grace, Dr. Kurt. The Padres have slipped below 500 for I don't know how many times. Hasn't been very many times, but they are one game under 500 for the first time in a few days. And yesterday's game, a very interesting one. So Ian Kennedy comes out, and it's pretty lights out for four innings. No hits, given up. Gets to the fifth inning, and Bryce Harper leads off with a triple. Gives up a single to Zimmerman, I think, after that. First and third, nobody out. He bears down. Gets two pop-outs after that. The eight-hitter, Danny Espinosa's up. Gets ahead of him 0-1 and just makes a mistake. And what struck me was, now, people have talked about just walking him since the pitcher was up behind him. I don't think he should have walked him. But I don't totally understand how if you're going to miss with a pitch, how you miss up. You've got to miss down. If you've got an out coming behind him and Steven Strasburg, the pitcher, don't let the eight hitter beat you, right? I mean, a buddy has talked about how, well, he'd gone five innings, he hadn't pitched that well, there's a decent chance they pinch hit for him. I definitely don't think you walk him there, but you can't let the eight hitter beat you there, right?
Well, you certainly, that's the way that, everything's drawn out. But sometimes things just don't work out, and unfortunately yesterday that's the way it is. But you know what? When Ian Kennedy's on the mound or James Shields is on the mound, and I'm not taking anything away from any of the other pitchers, when they make a mistake like that, I can live with it. There's some other guys that I can't live with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I just know that I realize that Shields and Kennedy know they made a mistake. As soon as they threw it, they knew they made a mistake. The thing that has really stood out for me in these first 30-some games that the Padres have played is that when mistakes have been made, it doesn't seem like the opposing hitter has missed, which is amazing to me.
Right.
I mean, they've really hurt them when the mistakes have been made. Go back to the opening series against the Dodgers in Rollins.
Right, Sean Kelly.
And Sean Kelly in the home run, the mistake that he made, and bang, it's a three-run job, and that one wins the game for the Dodgers. I don't even think two of Gonzalez's home runs would have mattered off of Cashner. But the one did, and that beat him. I can't tell you how many – it's not that easy to hit a baseball over the fence – on a 95-mile-an-hour or a 92-mile-an-hour fastball when there's a mistake made. Mistakes are missed every game all the time. But it really seems like this ball club has been snake bit on the mistakes that it's made. So I would think that it even has to bear down more knowing that, hey, if I make a mistake, they're going to punish it. They should be missing either further up, further down, further in, or further
we
out.
We got more of.
I think that's my point. Thanks, Bloop.
He was trying to get rid of me. Did I talk too long, Bloop? Did I?
No.
Okay, I was just checking.
No, and exactly. That's my point. If you're going to miss in the dirt,
mm-hmm.
You've got a guy that's going to throw his body in front of that ball. If you're going to miss so far outside that he can't hit it, especially when it's that eight hitter. And look, Ian Kennedy knows all these things we're talking about, and that's why we're talking about them.
If
you went up to him and said, "How you didn't know he knew the pitcher was on deck. He wanted that back." Just like you said, he has a visceral reaction to that pitch, just like James Shields does. Those four home runs in Arizona, the last two, you could just see the dejection in his face and his actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. Those guys, they feel it. They show that emotion that you're feeling as a fan. So we're not talking about anything this guy doesn't know. I think that's just the frustration you get from watching a team, being so invested in the team in that game. A game going as well as it was, especially for him, because a guy gets through the first three innings, naturally I'm going to start thinking about the no-hitter just because we've never had one. So.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody started to think about that after the fourth inning. I don't think there's any doubt about it. There's a lot of really great baseball fans out there, and they really pay attention to the numbers and the statistics and everything that goes on nowadays in the game. And if there's a way to chart, if you could sit and watch a game on television, if there's a way to chart the number of pitches that are missed, you'd really be surprised. I mean, I think you really would. I can name 5, 6, 7 pitches the other day that the opposing hitters popped up
mm-hmm.
in certain situations. And we also as hitters, when I say we, I'm talking about the Padres, check it out, miss when a pitcher makes a mistake because it's so difficult to hit a baseball square. I mean, it really is. You can go out and take batting practice and give a guy 10 swings, and he's only going to get a couple of hits in batting practice.
Right.
So in a game, just because a pitcher misses, that doesn't mean that the opposing hitter is going to take him out of the ballpark or get a game-winning hit. A lot of times it's fouled off, it's grounded out, it's popped up. That situation didn't happen, and it's unfortunate because it just makes the whole scenario bigger than what it actually is.
Right. It's this theory of a guy swinging 3-0. Usually, he's going to get a fastball relatively down the middle of the plate. And even when it is there and they're looking for it, they still miss it because it's hard to do. It's not an easy thing to do.
That's true.
So it makes a lot of sense.
That's
it really
true.
Does.
Yes, it does.
Cool. When we come back, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a little bit Justin Upton, some of the special things that he's doing here. It's really fun to see a guy do as well as he is at Petco Park from at the plate, which we haven't seen really in the history of this ballpark from a Padre for the most part. So talk a little more of that, get some of your Twitter questions. But first, come to Petco Park tomorrow for Taco Tuesday, presented by Cholula Hot Sauce. $1 tacos all night long, every Tuesday. And watch the Padres take on the Chicago Cubs at 7:10 p.m. Get tickets at Padres.com or at the box office. Coming back from the Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Coming from the AMR studios down the left field line here at Petco Park. An off day for the Padres. Got the Cubs coming in tomorrow. And getting to some of your Twitter questions. Regular contributor David Renteria Jr. says, what positives did we take from the Washington series, Sunday's game? He enjoyed the slide into second by Justin Upton. Home runs were nice. And talking about positives, I think you got to start with Justin Upton. Now, two solo home runs yesterday. The score was out of reach. But what we're seeing from him, the power, and we've seen a lot of power in Petco Park in general, but what we're seeing from him is really special and something we haven't seen in quite a while.
Well, he's the real deal. I mean, he's a prototypical cleanup hitter. He's got a tremendous amount of power. I mean, he's really strong. And the reason I like him and Kemp's approach at the plate is they'll swing at every pitch the same exact way. It's pretty amazing the way they continue to do that. I mean, if there's a pitch that's out of the strike zone, up and away, and they swing at it, 99% of the time they're swinging at it.
Yes.
You don't see them kind of half give it a half jobby. They're going for it, and that's what makes them the hitters they are. Upton he's fun to watch. I mean, he really is. And you know what? He's really impressed me in the outfield.
Yeah, he's been very solid. A lot of defensive metrics kind of put him as even, but he's making plays. We do have the one play in Arizona where he misplayed the ball and it got all the way to the wall and they tied the game.
Arizona, though.
Yeah. Here, he's playing a good left field. I guess that's your point. He's always been a good hitter here. Career 316, 379, 607 slugging. He's got 18 home runs here. This season, he's hitting 375, 425 on base, slugging 764 with 8 home runs and 4 doubles. And some of the home runs he hits, the second one yesterday was just a laser, just an absolute line drive home run. It's fun if you watch the feed on MLB.com. It gives you all these stats. 17-degree angle that the ball took to get out of here, and nothing was going to hold that ball in because it was just a rocket.
Yeah, I wonder about that. The angle stuff doesn't interest me that much, but it's the exit speed.
That one was like 116 miles
that,
an
that,
hour.
That interests me because I saw Stanton hit a ball, and then I saw A-Rod hit a home run in mm-hmm. Yankee Stadium, 120 miles an hour, and Stanton's was 116. And I went, whoa, wait a minute now. Stanton hits the ball as hard as anybody that's ever played the game, I think. And for A-Rod to be right there with him, that's saying something about his bat speed and what he can make happen with the baseball when he hits it. Upton's the same way.
Yeah, the ball just jumps off the bats. And what Giancarlo Stanton's been doing recently has been pretty amazing. He hits one out of Dodger Stadium, which has happened very few times. The two that he's hit recently at home, he hit it over their batter's eye in center field, like a 475 feet, hit one into their camera well in center field. I mean, he's unbelievable. This one here in L.A., it's crazy. But then, if you saw the one Mark McGwire hit, that one was even crazier because he hit his the left center onto the roof. That was back in 1999, so I think Bloop's got it somewhere.
So McGwire's hit one out of Dodger Stadium, and who else?
Piazza,
that's right.
Willie Stargell did it twice. And I think somebody said Frank Howard did it. Here's McGwire's. This is just unbelievable where this one goes. Look at that. That's almost dead center field, and he hits it on the roof out there. He was as strong as they come.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You can see that.
He and Barry Bonds. Just absolutely crazy. On the other side of the ball from yesterday's game, in the bottom of the first, the Padres got on the scoreboard early with Abraham Almonte in kind of the old-school fashion.
Manufactured.
Absolutely. So he strikes out, wild pitch, which I've always been kind of wondering, if you're down two strikes and there's a ball in the dirt, maybe take a swing at it and see if you can make it. I know it's really hard to think that way.
It is.
But
it really is.
But it could work a little more than it wouldn't, I would think. I don't know. But so he gets on. Steals second base, and he scores from second on an infield single. You don't see that very often.
No. He didn't. He hesitated for like one quarter of a split second going around third, and I thought Hoffy was holding him up.
I think so too.
But I don't think he was. I think he was waving him, and that's why Almonte continued to go. It was a great play. It was a great play to pull off in the first inning of that game because that's what the ball club needed. They needed to get jump started. You need to manufacture runs in that situation, and that's exactly what the ball club went out and did. And Kennedy Cruz for the next four innings.
He did. He got the home run from Upton to extend the lead. I think a 2-0 lead's much bigger than a 1-0 lead. It gives you much more breathing room because a solo home run doesn't tie it. The interesting thing about Almonte was he probably could have been out in both instances. Both times, the defender dropped the ball when he was stealing second and also the throw home. But you put the pressure on the defense to make a play. And we've talked about that a lot, you
sure.
And I have. We love guys putting the ball in play because, for the most part, that's when good things can happen. You can't do much with a strikeout, even though he kind of disproves that by getting on base, striking out. But putting pressure on the defense, it works at every level below the major league level. Because defenders aren't nearly as good. But even at the major league level, putting pressure on the defense can lead to good things.
That's, you know, it's as easy as making things happen. That's exactly what it was. And that's what Almonte did yesterday. That's what the Padres did yesterday in the first inning. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out. You know, when the game ended, you know, things kind of fell apart in the fifth, sixth inning. Things kind of went sideways, haywire a little bit. And they continued with struggling, which they did for three games against that ball club, which, incidentally, I thought that they were going to get to Strasburg.
And they kind of did. I mean,
they scored five runs in the game.
They got three off of him, I think, six innings. Nothing special from his outing, but, you know, just not quite enough with the way this pitching staff's been pitching. And then, you know, the top of the sixth, Kennedy really loses his control, walks three straight batters to lead off the inning, and then, you know, goes kind of goofy from there. I think there was like a nubber from Harper what can you do? Basically a swinging bunt. He hits it off the end of the bat, and it trickles down third baseline and stays fair, and then the inning goes from there. And then once that happens, it's really hard to get back. Once you get that deficit, there's not a lot. This team hasn't been hitting well enough to feel like they can probably come back from a deficit like that.
That was the turning point of the game in my mind.
I agree.
Harper's at bat when Garces was on the mound and had him struck out. And then the nubber followed.
That's just as hard luck as
which
it gets.
For sure. Because he made him look bad. He had no chance against Frank Garces.
Yeah, and that's a smaller positive sign that Frank Garces, on probably the toughest left-handed hitter in the league, really did his job and didn't get the call from the umpire. And even when the ball was put into play, you'll take that most days, most at-bats.
Sure.
You'll take that ground ball just where the defense was played because of the bases being loaded, just didn't get the play.
Yeah,
I think
that at-bat pretty much did the ball club in, unfortunately. I was thinking to myself, okay, get Harper out right here, and you still got a chance to win the game. But if he gets on, things are going to continue. And it's not going to be good because they're going to score a few more runs. And you don't want to get down that far in the game against a pitching staff that's that good. I mean, they really are. They're good.
They're really good. And what we saw from Scherzer and Jordan Zimmermann, that's going to be a really tough team to beat, especially in the playoffs, if they make the playoffs.
Scherzer was impressive.
You see why they spent a lot of money on him? He's earning it, to say the least. So
it was it was telling when I was sitting in the stands with Jim LaFever, who was on my show after the game that night, who played on the same team as Sandy Koufax. He goes, this kid reminds me of Koufax. Wow. And I go, in what way? He doesn't have nearly a curveball. He goes, no. He goes, Sandy always told me that when he was struggling, he would just change speeds. And I said, oh, okay. And he goes, throw harder. And that's exactly what Scherzer did. When he got into situations where he needed to get an out, he was throwing 2 or 3 miles an hour faster than he was the rest of the game.
Yeah, that's always nice to have in reserve.
It's always good to be able to kick it up to that.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, when we come back, I'm going to put Kurt on the hot seat. Got a couple little situational questions for him, and I'm curious if he noticed and get his opinion on that happened in yesterday's ball game that I found interesting. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Send in your tweets, hashtag PadresSH. We'll get them on the show. More Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
We're back. Dr. Kurt Bavacqua, Mike Grace, and my friend
in
here.
On the off day.
On
just
the off day.
The doctor ordered.
Hey, I see what you did there. Mm-hmm. And the doctor, it's on the hot seat. Cholula hot
Cholula.
Seat.
Cholula.
It's hot over there.
That's hot sauce.
All right. So, something I saw in the game that fascinated me. So, they've got the shift on Bryce Harper. I think it's his first at-bat. I don't remember for sure. And they get 2 strikes on him. And they swap infielders. Alexi and Spangenberg swap. I think Lexi goes to the shortstop, where the shortstop would normally go, where before he was on the other side of second base. And Corey goes over to the other side of second base. And this is not the first time I've seen them do this. They get 2 strikes on a guy, and they change the infielders. They've done it, I think, with Middlebrooks and Alexi as well. Any idea the thinking behind this switch?
The only thing I can think of right off the top of my head is that with 2 strikes on the hitter, he's more apt to try to hit the ball the other way. Because you have 2 strikes on you as a hitter, you want to try to make contact. Bryce Harper just isn't one of those guys that does that. When he hits the ball the other way, most of the time it's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
So
kind of like Adrian Gonzalez, same thing, right?
Correct. It is the same thing with Adrian. When they pull it on the ground. When they hit it the other way, they hit it in the air, the line drives. Also, you're putting both guys back into their natural position. That might be the reason.
So you figure earlier in the count, he's got a better chance of pulling the ball, so you want the guy with the most range on the right side. 2 strikes, better chance of him hitting the other way, so you want the guy with the most range on the other side.
Correct.
That makes a lot of sense, Kurt. I knew you'd have the answer, so that's why
I
wrote it down.
I don't know if that's the right answer.
But it makes sense, so we're going to say it is. So
there's a lot of things that you could say that make sense don't work.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. Did you watch the Mad Men series finale last night, Kurt? Do you watch Mad Men?
I do not.
You do not?
No.
It's a fantastic show.
Really?
I would encourage you to catch up, especially somebody that's lived through the 60s and early 70s, before my time, but a very, very good show. Bloop, what did you think of the finale last night?
I liked it. Wasn't blown away, but I liked it.
I think that's fair. And this is a cultural phenomenon. That's the only reason I bring it up, Kurt, and sorry that you didn't watch the show, but it was good.
But if you watch that show, then you miss MLB highlights.
You're right. I watched enough baseball all weekend long with rain delays that I went home and I sat in front of my TV and I watched Mad Men and Game of Thrones and everything on it.
Game of Thrones is supposed to be a pretty good show, huh?
It's a very good show.
I haven't seen that either.
Last night was a little rough to watch. I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody, but a little disturbing. But I would encourage that show as well. But Mad Men, very, very good show. So.
Well, my favorite show on TV is Blacklist.
Oh, okay.
So you can judge the kind of person I am liking that show.
I don't want to judge you, Kurt. I'm not here to judge.
Wow. It's fine.
Oh.
Yeah, you can.
All right.
I don't really care. So am I off the hot seat? Or
yes.
Are you putting me back on?
No, with that allowance of me being able to judge you, I'm going to go ahead and take you off the hot seat as a reward.
Okay, let me put you on the hot seat.
Let me do one thing real quick.
Okay.
Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Fire away, Dr. Kurt.
What's the dumbest managerial hiring that you've ever seen?
Well, I've Ted Turner made himself manager for one day when he was owner of the Braves. But I think that was a little more of a publicity stunt. And I'm guessing you're going to talk about this Marlins situation that is absolutely bizarre.
I really can't say that it's really dumb, because this guy might have a great baseball mind. I mean, he might know a lot of things that people just don't know about him. But he's been a front office guy. He's never played professional baseball, or if you want to count a couple of games, when he originally signed, from what I understand, with a Class A team somewhere. But that doesn't really count.
So let me set the scene for what we're talking about so everybody knows if they haven't seen. The Miami Marlins recently fired Mike Redmond. The Marlins, much like the Padres, added a lot of good pieces to their team. Started out very poorly, so they fired Mike Redmond, and they named their general manager, Dan Jennings, the new manager. He's never managed. He hasn't coached in 30 years, and that was in high school. Now he's been in baseball for a long time as a scout, worked his way up in the organization, now has been GM since, I think, 2013. But a really, really bizarre, and it sounds like it's not an interim situation. They're giving this guy the job. And one, some people think they're still paying Ozzie Guillen, plus they got to pay Mike Redmond because they fired them both, that they didn't want to add another manager and pay another guy. So there's that. But it's pretty crazy. They didn't go by the Selig rule, which says you need to interview a minority candidate, and they just hired this guy with no experience.
Well, let's see if the commissioner's office steps in on this. Is this in the best interest of baseball? Is this in the best interest of the Miami Marlins franchise? I mean, think of the 25 players that are on that team. They're going to be led the rest of the year by somebody that has front office baseball experience. And certainly, there are guys that are in a front office positions that know a lot about the game. But knowing about the game and being in the clubhouse and in the dugout are two different things. And I just think that the National League West doesn't have to worry about the Miami Marlins now.
Yeah, you think that strongly that it hurts them that badly?
Yes, I do. Because the players are wondering what the heck's going on. And they're not getting any backing. Stanton, who just signed a huge contract, mm-hmm. and was told by ownership that they're going to go out and do things. I mean, are you kidding me? They don't want to pay another manager? That's speculation, I know.
Yes.
But it certainly kind of looks that way.
Makes a lot of sense when you think about the situation.
No, it makes no sense. But just the same, it kind of looks like that's exactly what they did. And you know what? Two of the coaches came from the front office, too.
Really, really bizarre situation.
That is crazy. So they're already on payroll. They're just putting them down in the dugout. Are they going to give them more money?
No idea. Probably not.
I doubt, seriously.
I got to think, unless they prove themselves to be good at their job. But it's just such a bizarre
situation.
For the
good of the 25-man roster and the kids that are in the minor leagues ready to knock on the door, I'm hoping it's interim. Unless Mr. Jennings is a great baseball mind and knows his stuff. And then we could all just say, you know what? We were wrong. This guy knew what he was doing. The owner of the Marlins is the smartest guy in the world. But I don't think we're going to be saying that because it just wasn't a good move.
Yep.
They need to bring an experienced baseball guy in there to manage that team.
Yep. Well, only time will tell. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Peco Park, at the Park of the Park, or the Mercado. Also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. More Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines from the AMR Studios coming up right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR Studios. Got a few of your Twitter, more so comments than anything else. East Village Times chimes in. Marlins' move is purely money motivated. Still paying Ozzie Guillen and now Redmond. They did win a World Series with Jack McCann. Not totally comparable because Jack McCann had been a manager and a GM for many, many years.
Oh,
quite
yeah,
the
yeah.
baseball mind.
Absolutely.
But I think we agree that it's most likely money motivated there. Our friend Big Ahi, a couple comments first. Good call, Kurt Bavakwa, on the blacklist. So
there you go.
He says it's good. You say it's good. Yeah. I'm gonna check it out now based on your recommendation.
Oh, it's really good.
Nice. All right.
You might not. Their season might be over.
Well, I can go on Netflix or Hulu or one of the services and catch up, and then we'll just talk about it. We'll spend a whole show talking.
You're
about
hooked.
It. Yeah, James Spader.
Spader's great.
Yeah. All right. Then Big Ahi also asks, "What's the little blue thing between the button and RJ Barbecue 35's barbecue sauce next to Kurt Bavakwa?" It's actually a 42 pin for Jackie Robinson Day from earlier this year. Yeah, all the players wore 42s on their jerseys, and we like to honor Jackie whenever possible. So
I didn't get one of these.
No?
No.
I'm going to talk to somebody about that.
I'm going to go.
It would look nicely on the other side of your cap there because you've got your 2015 Padres pin on your cap.
I would love to have one of these. This is very nice.
It is nice, right?
Yeah, this is very nice.
Blooper, can we work on that?
I can see what I can do.
Come on, Blooper. Thanks.
No, you know what that means, right?
What about the hoodies?
You like them, right?
Oh, it's awesome. Wore it in a man cave last night.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it. You got to start snapping some selfies of you in the man cave in your hoodie, just relaxing. Get some of the feeder up, rubbing the dog, giving him a nice petting.
He loves it.
He loves it.
The dog loves it.
That's good stuff. Want to guarantee the opportunity to purchase tickets to the 2016 All-Star Game at Petco Park? Become a Padres season ticket member at the gold or platinum level and lock in your chance to get tickets to this highly anticipated game. Call 619-795-5555 or email tickets@padres.com to become a member today. Talk a little Cubs-Padres upcoming series when we come back right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Final segment of the show. Getting you ready for dinner, I guess, since there's no game tonight.
Can't wait to get home.
I know Blooper's hungry. He's mentioned it about eight times during the show, so he's looking forward to dinner. Our buddy David chimes in on Twitter. Where did Dr. Kurt get those sweet socks? I need a pair for Wayback Wednesday. Help me out.
How about that?
Those are sharp. Got the fryer, brown and gold.
Got the
Where'd you get those?
Brown and gold.
Is that a store purchase?
Yeah,
right here at the
right
Padres
here.
Store. You can come visit the show, get your socks
right
at the
here
store.
At the Padres store. We got to keep up with our socks when we're on the show because just the way things are. I mean, you can't sit, like, check out those socks.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
A little Argyle, you know. There's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
And you've got to look good. I mean, you can't wear socks like you normally wear with holes in them and, you know, the cut-off golf socks.
Appreciate you cleaning it up.
Legs with scars on them and stuff.
No, we don't want to see those cleat marks.
No.
Got the Cubs coming into town for a three-game set. Going to be a fun series. They're a good young team. And I like that James Shields is going to throw that first game for us. Last time out, he really gave the team what they needed. It was six tough innings, but got the win in Seattle. So, like to see him on the mound going up against Jason Hamill. Then you've got Tyson Ross. And be interesting to see if Despondi does get that start on Thursday or not. But you can see Chris Bryant in person. That'll be fun.
Hey, he's a good young talent.
Leading the team in RBI already. Missed a couple weeks and probably their
and
best
he
hitter.
Went out of the game. I think he left the game yesterday. He wasn't feeling well.
Is that right?
But so I'm kind of hoping it carries over. But we'll see.
We'll see.
I want him to feel good because he's San Diego boy. But I don't want him to come in here and pound on the Padres because that happens a lot. Your former team or the town that you're from, you'd normally go in and play well.
Yeah, they're 21-16 right now, 1-7 of their last 10. They're playing pretty good ball. And we've talked about this homestand being a good test for this team. You're really looking for the Padres, especially the starting pitching, to turn it around, get some momentum going, beat a good team. They've played a really, really tough schedule so far. And the Nationals are a really good team. The Cubs playing well. They need to start playing well against these good teams. That's going to lead into some momentum when they play some of the lesser teams and hopefully build something that you can get back into this playoff race.
Everything's just been mediocre so far.
Everything has.
And the starting pitching, I think, has been below mediocre. The bullpen seems like they've kind of gotten their act together a little bit. But I'm looking for some of the starting pitchers to go out. They need to take charge.
I'm looking for the same thing as well. Thank you, Kurt. Enjoy the off night, everybody. Mm-hmm. Jesse and Bill will be back at 5:30 when the Padres take on the Cubs. Tomorrow's game is at 7. Have a wonderful evening. Good night, folks.